This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's your boy, Jason McIntyre, here on Straight Fire for Friday, November 5th. As the Jets turn, but folks, I don't even know if I want to start with the Jets. We've got big Odell Beckham news likely breaking this morning. We have an Anthony Davis injury last night, of course, that Laker fans were sweating out. It just doesn't stop in sports. It never really does. It's funny. I hang with a bunch of dads, and whenever I'm like, yeah, I can't hang on Sunday, I got to watch games, they're like, do you have to watch every game? Obviously, the answer is no. But when my Jets are playing the Colts on Thursday Night Football, you're sure as shit that I'm going to roll up to my daughter's soccer practice, helping out the coaches, and I've got the Jets game on the phone, and I'm watching them fall into a deep abyss early. Oh my gosh. So they're down 42-10, and I told you guys Colts are going to win. I told them blowout. You know, I pretty much called everything. And then the Jets storm back. And I'm rushing the kids to bed last night. My mom calls to check in with, parental updates, what's happening, all that fun stuff. And my phone starts buzzing with texts, and it's like, okay, after like several of them, I finally look, and it's like, the back door's open for the Jets. And I hadn't watched for like 15 minutes. It was 42 to like maybe 16 when I stopped watching. So I scurry to a TV, and the Jets have the ball coming down the field to try to come in the back door. I'm like, oh my God. You know, and as a Jets fan, that does nothing for me. I bet against them. My prop under Carter hit. I had the Indy Colts and Survivor. That was a lock. Really? Am I going to lose this bet? Fortunately, geez, the Jets were able to screw it up. But I don't even know where to start. There's safety Marcus May suffers an Achilles injury. He's like the third defensive starter out for the season. How does this keep happening to the Jets? I'm just depressed. Now, if that's not enough, losing May, the quarterback, Mike White, the hero from last week, couldn't grip a football in the second half after suffering in the second quarter after suffering a hand injury. In comes Josh Johnson, and again, third string quarterback, Thursday Night Football, rookie coach. Jets had no chance. Okay, we obviously get that. And this is the thing, I got to be careful what I say because I can get emotional about my team. I know you guys are there with me. Okay, I know everybody has their favorite team. Some of my boys like UCLA. I have a couple Cowboys fans that I'm friends with, a lot of Rams fans, obviously Yankees, and whatever your favorite team is, you can get emotional about it, okay? And this gets me a little frustrated, my Jets people out there, you know what I'm talking about. Zach Wilson, the Mormon Mahomes out of BYU, notice I haven't called him that in a few weeks. He struggled at the beginning of the season. Okay, you get it. It's a rookie. No problem. I get it. You know, new offensive coordinator, new team. He's the 21. I think he's 21. He's a young guy. I get it. Struggles. So then he gets hurt. And Mike White comes in and drops four bills on the Bengals and wins a game. The Jets had more first downs in that game than they'd had in three decades in a game. So Mike White, highly successful. You're like, okay, well, the Bengals hadn't game plan for him. They were just dropping back and preventing the big play. They gave up the checkdowns, blah, blah, blah. Fine. So Josh Johnson comes in, third stringer, journeyman. I think he's played in every league under the sun in North America. And Josh Johnson moves the Jets up and down the field and throws for 317, three tutties, 7.7 yards per attempt. So that was not a dink and dunk performance from Josh Johnson. I mean, he was making throws. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 different players with explosive receptions of 20-plus yards. Elijah Moore looked awesome, the rookie. 2 touchdowns. It was on my fantasy bench. You don't care about my fantasy team. Josh Johnson threw a great ball down the sideline into the tight end, Tyler Croft, who obviously got hurt on the play, but made a great high-point reception over the great Darius Leonard. How the hell is Josh Johnson finding success? Okay, it's a blowout. Colts didn't care defensively. I get it. The mere fact that he was moving the football at will a week after Mike White did, but Zach Wilson basically could do nothing for 4 weeks. Little troublesome. Okay, I'm trying not to get too fired up early in the morning. Haven't even had my coffee. It just frustrated the hell out of me. I'm going to be patient. It's a long season. The Jets do not have a ton of talent. Guess what? We're right back in the mix for a top five pick, okay? That's the good news out of this game. Jets lose. A couple guys get hurt. you know, the sun rises today and we move on. I won my Survivor pick. By the way, I'll do best bets, NFL, several, college, a few at the end of the podcast. I just want to point out briefly, Survivor, I was talking about the Miami Dolphins all week and we got news Thursday. Tyrod Taylor will be starting for Houston. This is a big stay away for your boy. I had considered the Miami Dolphins strongly in Survivor. Davis Mills on the road is a layup for any NFL defense. I think Tyrod Taylor, who's been out with a hammy for, I don't know, 2 months, maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks. The line plummets. Remember, it was 7 down to 5.5. Okay? 5 in some of the sharper shops. I forget who it was who came on and basically outlaid the sharpest shop. You go to VegasInsider.com. They list like BetMGM, Caesars, WinBet, FanDuel, PointsBet, blah, blah, blah. Circa is the one column you got to look at. That's where they take bets from anybody. They don't care. They'll take $50,000 bets. A lot of these other places don't. They're afraid. They don't want to lose money. Circa says, we'll take on anybody's money. So they have the sharpest lines. They have this game at 5. Probably will end up being 4.5, maybe lower come game time. So I do not advise taking the Miami Dolphins in Survivor. If you missed on the Colts, I think Dallas is not a lock, but Dallas is a good one. The Buffalo Bills are a great one, but the Buffalo Bills play the Jets next week. The Jets probably will be on third string quarterback Josh Johnson. That might be 17.5. You want to save the Bills for next week if you can. Now, I'm not an advocate of saving because at least in the first 8 weeks, I'm like, hey, you got to take whoever you think is going to give you the chance, because a lot of people try to get cute and game plan. Listen, man, injuries happen. Okay? You can't game plan for injuries. That's why the first half of the season, my strategy in Survivor, and I've won 2 pools and done well in several others, just get through the first half of the season. Don't say, well, week 12, I'm going to need this team. Week 11. No. Get through the first 8 weeks, okay? Then start game planning. So I have a little chart here that I mapped out if you're interested for Survivor. This week, I had listed Colts, Dallas, Miami, obviously I had to cross that one off, and Buffalo. Week 10, Colts, they are against Jacksonville. That has potential. Buffalo at the New York Jets. Buffalo on the road, very dicey, but they're still going to be massive favorites. So Colts or Buffalo next week. Now the other one, this is where it could be getting a little too cute. Pittsburgh hosts Detroit. There's some, that's interesting. Now week 11 is the only other one I went to. I'm only going to look at 3 weeks at a time. And in week 11, the interesting ones are Cleveland against Detroit, Tennessee, Houston. Obviously you want to target Houston anytime you can. But that's enough on Survivor. I want to get to the big story today in the NFL, and that's Odell Beckham.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
According to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, the Browns are going to be releasing Odell Beckham at some point today. And why would they do that? Well, apparently there's a deal in place where if he goes unclaimed on waivers, meaning he doesn't get to pick where he goes, then they worked out some kind of deal where Odell Beckham, financially, it doesn't kill the Browns, because it's going to kill the Browns if you pay the guy $9 million to walk out the door. He's healthy as hell. He goes somewhere and it's successful and you get nothing but laughter for just, you know, eating $9 million. On principle, and I said it yesterday, we talked about it with the former GM, Randy Mueller, who was on the pod yesterday. It's like, I'd just rather keep him. I'd pay him to not show up. You know, Deshaun Watson's getting paid right now. He's not playing. I'd rather pay someone to keep him on the roster, teach him a lesson. Hey, dude, you want to be a jerk? You don't like Baker Mayfield? You want to have your dad do this nonsense? You want to heighten the drama? Fine. You'll sit on the bench and not play. You're only hurting yourself. Odell doesn't want to be there. And I will say this. I had somebody smart who works on a team in the NBA. And he texted me when he saw my Odell stuff. Hey, Jay, I see you saying let the 76ers release Ben, trade Ben, get rid of, I'm sorry, not release Ben, trade Ben Simmons, get him out of there. He doesn't want to be there. But now you're saying you don't want to trade Odell Beckham. And I said, well, it's first of all, it's a little different. The trade deadline passed. Okay? So at this point, the Browns' options are, hey, we will pay you money to go play wherever you want. Is that where's the win there for Cleveland? If you're Philadelphia, you get the headache out of the locker room and you get whatever picks and players you can. Now, I know you're not going to get equal value because his value is down, but for, if you're Ben Simmons right now, you don't, according to the stories, because you know Daryl Morey's running right to the media as soon as any meeting happens. Ben Simmons is refusing any of the mental health assistance that the team is offering, preferring to go through the Players Association for assistance with his mental health situation. And I'm not going down that road to talk about it with Ben Simmons. Bottom line, things are not going well there. And the problem is the Sixers are paying him. So they're obviously very, very ticked off that they have to pay this guy and he's just sitting out. And you're down an all-NBA player and you can't replace him via trade. But you can get good parts via trade and then just move on and not have this hover over the franchise like a dark cloud all season. Because that's all it's going to do. And I know the Sixers won again and they're 7-2 and everybody's looking at these stats. Oh, 76ers are so awesome. They're playing great. Like, you guys do realize they have now beat the Pistons twice. Pistons, almost certainly the worst team in the East. They have beat OKC, one of the worst teams in the league. They beat Portland, which is awful. They beat the Pelicans, who I think are 1-8. And, you know, their best win of the season right now is against the Bulls, a nail biter at home the other night. Other than that, the 76ers have not done anything other than beat up tomato cans in front of them. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, Jay, what do you want them to do? They're winning the games they're supposed to. But I'm saying let's not get all geeked that they're 7-2. Let's take a break. Saturday, they go to Chicago. Can they sweep the Bulls this week? That would be impressive. Then they have a rematch against the Knicks, who they lost to. Then it's Milwaukee. Toronto's playing well. At Indiana. And at Indiana starts a 6-game road trip. And it's their first trip to the West. At Utah, at Denver, at Portland, Sacramento, Golden State. Let's see how they perform on that road trip before we go crowning anybody, you know, as a dominant team. So the Ben Simmons and Odell Beckham situations, I don't see a parallel. Now, I do think, despite the Odell Beckham issues, remember, on his way out of New York, it was ugly. It was very ugly. And I don't think it's ever been great in Cleveland. If I am an NFL team, it's almost like you've got to be desperate for Odell to make a move. Like, if he goes to San Francisco, and he walks in that locker room, Deebo Samuel's having the best year of his career. Deebo Samuel is one of the best receivers in the league statistically right now. You know, I don't think you need him. You got Brandon Ayuk just sitting there. You drafted him. Play him. Get him to clean up his act. I mean, Buffalo Bills are not going to need him. Baltimore Ravens have a ton of receivers. They just drafted one. I don't think it's that much of a slam dunk that there's this awesome market for Odell Beckham. You've got an arrogant, entitled 29-year-old who hasn't done jack squat in like two or three seasons. And he's going to come in demanding the football. So, like, you know, you're the Tennessee Titans. I know Julio Jones has some issues and A.J. Brown's crushing it. Do you go after him? I mean, the Vegas Raiders lost Henry Ruggs. They could use somebody to stretch the field, but is Odell even that guy anymore? We know he has speed, but like, is he going to just want to run go routes, take the top off of defense the way Henry Ruggs did? I mean, I'm not seeing this robust market, but you know what's going to happen. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to say, hey man, our offense is struggling. They're bracketing Tyreek. They're locking down Kelsey, who's starting to look, you know, 31, 32. Could we use Odell? Could we get him in here? Could we get him to clean up his act? Very combustible time in Kansas City. Andy Reid's had his problems. I keep hearing stuff about Patrick Mahomes' brother. I haven't looked into it enough to care, but I keep hearing just not great things about, I don't know if the stardom has hit or whatever, but I think without question the Chiefs will kick the tires because how can you not on the potential? And then, of course, the Green Bay Packers. Where it all went wrong, remember the boat trip? That was before the Packers game. And Odell Beckham really hasn't been the same since. Now, Davante Adams, Marquez Valdez scandaling. I think Odell Beckham walks into Green Bay and is instantly the number two receiver on the team. Is he going to want to fall in line? Does he understand that Aaron Rodgers, it's his team and whatever he says goes? And Odell, I don't want to hear any lip. Don't put your hand up. Don't tell me to throw the ball to you. Like, how's that going to work? I just don't know if he can be put in check like that by Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. At this point in his career, he should be able to, but can he is the question. Now, also, Tampa Bay loves to shop in the bargain basement bin. Antonio Brown's injury is real. Luckily, they have a bye this week, but he wouldn't have been able to play. You know, if you're the New Orleans Saints, do you give it a shot? I mean, I'm sure he would not love to go to the Taysom Hill show in New Orleans. There's going to be options. I just personally don't think he's a huge game changer at this time. It's not like Odell Beckham helps put someone over the top. Can he be a great, accessory? Like, to, you know how you put together an outfit? At the end, you're like, ooh, do I wear this bracelet? I'm not really much of a bracelet guy. What about this pocket square, you know, on my jacket? What about this ring? There's some ring guy. What about this necklace? Like, he's an accessory at this point. He's not, as me and my buddies used to refer to, a number one, like your number one shirt in your wardrobe that you'd always wear that was money that the ladies loved. He's not a number one anymore. He's just not. He's an accessory at best. All right, let's move on to the best bet. Let's win some money this weekend.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, for the best bet, let's start in college football. Not a lot of great games this weekend. Obviously, Auburn, Texas A&M is one of the highlights. People will say Michigan State, Purdue is a big game. We'll start there. It's funny because normally you'd want to fade Sparty off the big win over Michigan, right? As logic dictates, a bunch of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds just beat their rival. Huge game on TV. Awesome late comeback. Incredible. And there will be a letdown the following week on the road against Purdue, which is known for being a bit of a giant killer. If you remember a few weeks back, Iowa beat Penn State in that huge game. Penn State lost its quarterback. The following week, Iowa went to Purdue. And what happens? Purdue smacks Iowa. I don't think Michigan State has a letdown here. The thought process goes like this. Mel Tucker, very, very good coach. Michigan State, veteran group, a bunch of transfers. I know it was a huge win over Michigan, and there could be letdown, but I just don't think this veteran group, of course, led by the great transfer Kenneth Walker, who's now in the Heisman mix after the 5-touchdown game against Michigan. Walker is going to have a field day. If you look at the Purdue run defense, they're not very good. Michigan State should have success. This line is short, but I have a feeling we're going to see some game day money on Sparty here. Purdue, by the way, is coming off another big win as a dog last week over Nebraska, and Michigan State's really owned this series. I just don't know. Not once this season has Purdue really held a running back in check. They're just an average run defense. If they play out of their minds and hold Walker, then yeah, Sparty's going to have some trouble, but nobody's been able to hold him down. So I took Michigan State favored by 3. I know the spot screams Purdue. But some of these spot plays have not hit for me this year. It's been tough, so I'm going to go with Michigan State. Out of principle, you guys know I talked about this briefly. Cincinnati, I'm really ticked off that the Bearcats got shafted by the College Football Playoff Committee. So one or two things is going to happen. They're going to be devastated. They're mopey. They're not practicing hard. They know that, nothing we can do, man. We're just not getting it. They're not going to respect us. It sucks. What are we doing? Why are we wasting time? And they go out and they lay an egg against Tulsa. That could happen. The other side of the coin is what I think really happens. They're angry, ticked off. We've done everything. We can beat these guys. We can hang with friggin' Oklahoma. I saw somewhere on the internet that if Oklahoma faced Cincinnati on a neutral right now, Oklahoma would maybe be a 1-point favorite. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you guys, like, Ohio State's offense is good. That's not a good defense at all. Cincinnati would shred them. And, you know, other than Georgia, I think Cincinnati can hang with just about anybody in the country. Alabama's defense is not that good. And I have a feeling Cincinnati comes out and just opens a can on Tulsa. Tulsa was competitive earlier this season. Very good against Ohio State for a half. They fought hard against Oklahoma State, played them tough. And it's like, I think they're going to have a chance, Tulsa, to keep it kind of close early. But this is a Cincinnati team on a mission. I know it's a big number, 22. I laid it, no problem, Cincinnati against Tulsa. And then my I really wanted to take Alabama. They basically picked their number against LSU. LSU is awful. Ogeron's gone. Everything lines up here for a smash spot for Nick Saban's group, but I didn't actually bet that. It's just 28.5, really? That's a lot. That is a big number. So I just took A&M, favored by 4.5 against Auburn. I don't know that anybody's played as rough of a four-game stretch as Auburn. This is their fourth straight ranked opponent. And A&M and Jimbo Fisher coming off the bye. Now, Jimbo Fisher swirling. You heard Tim Brando earlier this week talking about Jimbo Fisher makes all the sense in the world at LSU. I'm sure during the bye week, he talked to his agent, Jimmy Sexton, just a little bit, just a little about the LSU gig. But Fisher has some business to take care of here. Auburn's not bad. I just think A&M really underachieved earlier this season. I think they deliver here and beat Auburn. So I know it's a little bit chalky. You know, Michigan State's a favorite. Cincinnati's a big favorite. A&M's a little favorite. Somebody tried to make a case for me in Georgia Tech getting double digits against Miami as Miami's really floundering and bad. I didn't bet it. I looked at it. I'm like, that's a tough one. There is some chatter that Stanford's quarterback is going to be ruled out. We'll see. Utah on the road. That number skyrocketed from 6 to 9. That's maybe something worth looking at. But the college games this weekend just aren't very good. So let's get to the NFL. And that's where the action's at. And I got to be honest, it's been an up and down season for me in the contest. Currently, I am 21, 18, and 1 in the contest. I haven't looked at the standings. I just know that because last week I was 2 games over .500 and then I was 3-2. It's just frustrating. It's like you go 3-2. You go 3-2, then a 2-3. It's like, what am I doing? I can't get hot. I only have 1-4-1, no 5-0s yet. And it's weird because the last couple weeks I've really liked the games and I've missed the layups. So what I've looked at hard this week, and I know you're not going to like this, is two big favorites. The Rams favored by 7, 7.5 against Tennessee. I really like the Rams here. I think they, like, think about it. A.J. Brown, really good receiver. Julio Jones has had the hamstring issues, not 100%. If Jalen Ramsey removes A.J. Brown, and if he's going to say he can't remove him, fine. What if he contains him? I have 4 catches, 47 yards or something. I mean, Ramsey does this. This is what he does. No Derrick Henry. Where's the offense coming from? I just don't know if Tennessee has the weapons to hang. And remember, this is a bad Titans secondary. Josh Allen went up and down the field against them, torched them. Patrick Mahomes could do nothing because they could not wake up. They could not win at the line of scrimmage. And they didn't really have the ball. And the Chiefs struggled. Titans, you know, it's been a rough go for them because they've had so many hard, big games. I mean, think about this. They played the Bills, primetime game. Then they played the Chiefs 6 days later. Then they played their huge rivals, the Colts. They fall down 14-0. And they looked out of it. They were not the better. Nobody can convince me they were the better side last week than the Colts. And, of course, Carson Wentz implodes in the fourth quarter like he is wont to do. But I like the Rams, favored by 7. I try to avoid those big touchdown ones. If you don't want to take the Rams, the slam dunk teaser of the weekend, you know, the one that you feel like has to be as close to a lock as possible, 7-point teaser, Rams, Chiefs, pick them down to pick. New Orleans Saints take down to getting 0.5 point. They are currently 6.5-point favorites. And then the last one, no, I know some of you are going to want to say Baltimore. That's definitely not it. I'm just telling you, be careful with that Baltimore Ravens game. Something feels a little fishy there. It just, I don't know. I don't have a good, great read on it. I think I bet the over earlier this week. It's up to 50.5, and it's probably going to climb higher. I think Minnesota hangs around there. But the fourth teaser, Rams, Chiefs, Saints, and then the Monday night game, Pittsburgh. And I do kind of want to take Pittsburgh with the 6.5, but it's like anytime Mike Tomlin's favored by a lot, he finds a way to let the opponent hang around. Like Geno Smith hung around and pushed him to overtime. Like Geno Smith stinks. Can Justin Fields do that? I don't know. But I do know this. When the Bears' sad sack offensive line tries to hang against good defensive lines, they get smoked. The Browns annihilated them, sack Fields 9 times, 26-6. They play the Niners last week. Fields destroyed. I mean, pummeled. Boso was 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, and the Niners win handily. And then they played the Bucs, and the Bucs killed them at the line of scrimmage, 38-3. Well, T.J. Watt and the Steelers have, you know, top 4 defensive line in the NFL. They dominated the Browns at the line of scrimmage last week. Why wouldn't they just annihilate Chicago at the line of scrimmage? That's going to happen. The problem, of course, is Ben, and do you trust him? I'm going to wait on that to see if Khalil Mack plays. He has not practiced this week. Eddie Jackson, one of their safeties, is out. I think this number ultimately gets to 7, but in a teaser leg, are you kidding me? Those 4 favorites down to basically just win the game? I think that's as good as it gets, and the teasers have been very profitable, probably better than straight-up sides or totals this weekend. But so that's a teaser. I don't think I'll do it in the contest, but Buffalo favored by 15 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's weird. You have to throw out what you thought at the beginning of the season, and you guys know I'm one of the few L's that I've taken is on Urban Meyer and the Jaguars. I was just so wrong about them. Just disappointing. I mean, they stink. They're terrible. I mean, out of the bye, no show against Seattle, down 24-0. Like, come on. What are we doing? I don't know. It's just tough for me to lay more than 2 touchdowns, but the number keeps creeping up. Like, nobody has an appetite for the Jags. I'm going to give you a game. I told you about this team. I liked them last week. They hit for me. You're not going to like it. The Carolina Panthers getting 3.5 at home against Belichick. Even if it is P.J. Walker, yes, Carolina, that's a side. It's a hold-your-nose play. It's a, like, close-your-eyes and, like, hand the money in. This defense is going to win at the line of scrimmage. Shaq Thompson is back. They missed him for 3 straight weeks. He comes back, leads them in tackles. Last week, the Falcons, I don't know if the Falcons had 80 yards rushing. They just couldn't move the football. And then you toss in Gilmore, who made his debut last week and seals the game with an interception. Gilmore, of course, spent plenty of time with the Patriots. You think he had this one circled? Maybe, kind of. Everything lines up for the Carolina defense. Of course, the problem is, how the hell do you score? Justin Herbert can't move the football. Why would P.J. Walker be able to? Well, enter Christian McCaffrey, who's coming off the IR. If McCaffrey plays, that's a shot in the arm. They need that badly. Walker against Belichick scares me, yes, but I think the Carolina defense does enough to get them to hang around. I took the under, and I took Carolina and the hook. I know backing P.J. Walker is tough, and I just basically led with, hey, yeah, I like P.J. Walker a lot, and nobody else does. But sometimes being on an island is profitable. It sounds like Kyler Murray's out because now San Francisco's favored. If you took it earlier in the week, great. Congratulations. San Francisco now favored by 2. They were getting 3 way early in the week. My earliest bets this week were Eagles getting 3. They're now getting 1.5. Of course, Colts last night, Rams 7, a juice 7, minus 125, meaning you got to bet $125 to win 100. Raiders by 3. Looks like that's headed toward 3.5. It's tough. I made the bet, obviously, before the Ruggs news. I'm hopeful that they can come through. I just don't like the Giants at all. And I took Dallas-Denver, one of the few totals, under 50. Amari Cooper, dinged up. CeeDee Lamb hasn't practiced. It looks like he may not be a go. And I wonder if it's a ball control attack against a Denver front that's just not very good. So those are some of my NFL favorites. Yeah, I need a 4-1 or a 5-0 in the contest to start inching toward the money. It's half a season in the books, but historically, as I talked about, November's been rough for me as, you know, Thanksgiving and family, and you start to kind of wear down after 2.5 months of gambling hardcore on the NFL every weekend. You just lose focus, taking time off to do stuff with the family, and November can be difficult, but keep the faith, get some winners, have a great weekend, talk to you Monday.